As we're standing, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that you would help us as we look at it together this morning to have a clearer vision of you and of what you set before us. We pray that we would be focused on you in our thinking as we come to this whole area of what it is to be caught up in your mission to your world. So please help us by your Spirit to understand your word. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. I read recently about a man called John Dixon. He's a best-selling author and a singer-songwriter who lives in New South Wales in Australia. Now, on one occasion, he was having a coffee with a friend in a beach cafe, as the Aussies do, and he was explaining to his friend what the church that he belonged to was doing in order to share the good news of Jesus with people in their wider community. Well, at one point, he noticed a woman on another table who was looking rather inquisitively at him as he spoke. Well, John just assumed that she was a fellow Christian who was interested in their conversation, and he just kept on talking to his friend. Well, a few minutes later, the woman got up from her seat, paid her bill, walked straight over to John and his friend, and she said at the top of her voice, "So you want to convert the world, do you? How dare you?" And she stormed off. Well, that sort of reaction can easily make us question the whole idea of what is usually called mission, that is, being sent out by God to serve him in his world, which includes pointing others to him. We can find ourselves wondering, maybe the idea is rather presumptuous. Perhaps promoting the gospel of Jesus is the stuff of fanaticism rather than the natural expression of a thoughtful contemporary faith. Well, it is indeed very easy in today's world to think such thoughts. After all, the prevailing culture we live in thinks that people's faith should just be kept inside our hearts, just to enrich our personal spirituality, certainly not to make Christian truth claims a matter of public currency. And what's more, we find ourselves, even as Christians, cringing at the thought of getting involved in outreach that others might think is about trying to convert the world. Well, over the coming weeks, we're planning to consider the Bible's teaching of different aspects of what it means to be a mission-minded church, examining that which is God's concern for his world and our place in that plan. And we hope to look at Jesus' call to his people to engage in mission, the importance of prayer, the power behind mission, how we can take the opportunities before us, and what working together in the task looks like. And that is not often what we think it is. We usually think that it involves somehow preaching on the street corner or feeling bullied into embarrassing or being rude in our interactions with our friends. We'll see that it's not about that. Well, as we do this, I hope that some of the reasons and motives for why churches should share the good news will encourage us. And of course, there are a great many. For example, that others might know God's love in their lives, that friends can find forgiveness and escape from the consequences of ignoring God, that those we're concerned for can find purpose in life, and that others can feel like they belong in relationship with God and their fellow believers. Well, as we look to our Old Testament reading this morning, we find that right in many ways, as some of our more instinctive reasons for mission are, there is a foundational reality as to why Christians and local churches are to be concerned about mission. As we focus on that this morning, do turn to Psalm 96. It's on page 599 of the Black Church Bible. Psalm 96, one of the great poems or hymns of the Old Testament people. Psalm 96, page 599. Now, as we do that, we find that the psalm begins with an encouragement to the Old Testament people of God, his chosen covenant people. And the encouragement is that to sing praises to the Lord God. Verse 1, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name." And the author continues, tell of his salvation from day to day. Literally, take the news of his rescue to others. Now, the original word tell is where we get our word evangelism from, the task of announcing or declaring God's good news. The psalm goes on, verse 3, declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous works among all the peoples. See, the psalm makes clear that praising God, making known his glory, the essence of who he is, was to be done in the presence of the nations. That is, the pagan peoples, the Gentile peoples, who did not know much about the true God at the time. It seems that God wanted all peoples to hear of his saving actions. Now, in fact, in a small way, this did happen in the ancient world. That was because Jerusalem was a place where people from the nations came. And in the latter part of the Old Testament period, the temple services could be heard by others because a special area was reserved for non-Jews, the court of the Gentiles, in order that they might listen in to the truths about God as they were declared in song, in psalms, in readings, and so on. And in the centuries just before Jesus, as Jewish people migrated around the Mediterranean world, they built houses of prayer. They met together in these different countries, and the praises of the true God were heard even on pagan ground. But why was such a thing necessary? Why were God's people to make known his greatness and his reality? Well, can you not hear again that objection that we heard at the start? How presumptuous! How dare they think that others needed to hear about their faith and beliefs? Faith is really just a private and personal thing. Well, what follows in the psalm shows why declaring the truth about God was important then, and why it is still something that is vital for Christians to think about how together they engage in that task today. Verse 4. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared, revered above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Do you see the point? The greatness and truth of God must be promoted to all, because whether he is recognized or not by people, the true and living God is the only God. He is the only one who has made the universe. He is the only one who has made all human beings, whoever we are, whatever we believe or think. Ultimately, according to the Bible, rude and offensive, so many in today's world think it is to affirm, all other claims to ultimate reality are idols. Verse 5. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. What a contrast. The Bible doesn't denigrate pagan gods, but just makes clear that they don't exist. And therefore, as the psalm puts it, they're ultimately worthless. God, the Lord, is the only God. It is then only right that all his creatures have the opportunity to recognize him for who he really is. Because he made us. And putting it bluntly, we owe him. Now we see this again as we find the psalm addressing directly, not so much this time God's people who are to be singing his praises as they meet together, but now addressing people who would not normally have had anything to do with God. Verse 7. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. These pagan, non-Jewish families of the peoples are invited to join God's people in recognizing the true God and praising him for who he is and for what he has done. They're to ascribe glory because of his name, his reputation, who he is in truth. That should be rightly recognized by all people because he is the maker of all people. whether that's the religious person of whatever sort and persuasion, or the secular person of whatever stripe. Everyone who is part of the families of the world's people needs to recognise the true and living God. There is only one God. Everyone has been made by him, and everyone should recognise him and give themselves to him. And so our psalm shows that those who have recognised him, those who have given themselves back to him, then have a responsibility to promote his reputation throughout the world. Now, the reality we find in the Bible so clearly is that God is king. He is the world's ultimate ruler. Verse 10, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. So God's kingship, his kingdom, is something that is to be announced. Now that, of course, is the centre of the message of Jesus. Jesus, God's special Messiah King himself, came into the world proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand. In him, God's loving kingdom rule was proclaimed. In his death and resurrection, God's kingdom is offered to all who will turn to him and rely on what he has done. Who Jesus is and what Jesus has done are crucial to making known the reality of God as king, because Jesus reflects the true God perfectly, and he makes possible a restored relationship with him. The psalm writer says in verse 6, splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. You may know that in Old Testament times, it was thought considered that God dwelt in a special way in the sanctuary of the Jerusalem temple. Well, Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, has brought God's very presence to us in a new and personal way as he dwelt among us, as he came into the world and lived as a human being. Jesus reflects God's character and nature, and he brings the true God to us, and through his death and resurrection, us to the true God. And that is why Jesus has to be the centre of our message and communication as we join in God's mission to God's world today. Now, as the psalm comes to a close, we also see that this communication, this declaration of God's greatness and reality, this telling of his salvation from day to day that God's people together are to be involved in, is a pressing and urgent thing. That's because the true and living God, whom we must all recognise because he is God and we've been made by him, is going to act in the future. Verse 10, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy, because before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and his peoples in his faithfulness. You see, one day God will ask everyone whether they have recognized him or not. Jesus, God's very presence, will return to earth, as we affirm in the Creed week by week, to judge the living and the dead. For those who have recognized him, it will be a happy time of great joy, as illustrated here in the created order, reveling in joy at its creator. But for those who have failed to recognize him, it will be a seriously unhappy time. Well, some people today say that the idea of Christians sharing the good news of Jesus is a very negative thing, like that woman in the Australian beach cafe that we began with. So why would a church community seek to promote sensitively and appropriately the importance of Jesus to an atheistic family who seem to have life fully sorted and who are materially secure? Well, not just because they would have more purpose in life if they became Christians, though they would, but because even though they don't yet see it, they actually belong to the God who has made them. And they need to recognize that. Why pray for that neighbour who suffers from insecurity and lack of confidence that they might find help and strength from God? Well, not just because she could know the love of God and find refuge in his mercy to enrich her life, though she could if she came to Jesus, but because she's actually the possession of her one and only King and needs to grasp that reality. Why support mission partners in South Sudan, Pakistan, or inner city Hull? Well, not only because Africans and Asians and fellow Yorkshire folk need to be rescued from the judgment they deserve, as all of us do, but because they are, as we are, creatures of the one maker and sustainer of the universe. And he deserves their praise. See, people have a great many needs. Needs that their creator can begin to help them with. And you'd expect that if he's God and they are those that he has made. But most basic of all is that people have a responsibility to God. A responsibility because he has made them. A responsibility described in verse 7. Ascribe to the Lord honour and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the greatness due his name. To recognise God for who he is. And that is the main reason why Christian people, why churches must engage in what is essentially God's mission. It is for him. And we need his grace and love in Jesus. It is our only hope if we are to be put right with him. So when we hear objections to mission or find ourselves feeling the accusations of the world, remember there is only one God and his reality is focused in his Son, Jesus. Everybody belongs to him and everybody owes him. And if we do recognise him, and if we have received the benefits of his great love in Jesus who died and rose again to bring us back to God, well then we must work with God. We must work together to promote his reality in his world. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we think of your world and your plans for it, we pray that you would help us always to be centered on you. We thank you for your great care and love for all human beings, but help us not to forget the purpose of serving you as we seek to serve others. And we pray that you would indeed help us to tell of your great salvation and point others to your marvellous works, to see how these things are fulfilled in Jesus and our need of him. And we ask for his sake. Amen.